Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, we're going to kick off this week with some real good information, and if you are one of these individuals that finds that you're very concerned about your health, especially osteoporosis, when I do public appearances, I am amazed at how many women especially are just so anxious about this, and believe it or not, men have a concern about it. Why? Well, we have an aging population. And that aging population, if they don't become aware of how to take care of themselves and recognize that they could easily live to be a ripe old age, and they just don't want to end up one being with a what I call a decrepit body, where your bones are so soft that they break and they just are so brittle. Well, this is a concern, again, as I mentioned, for so many people. My guest, Amy Jo Lanau, she's got a book that she's put out, Building Bone Vitality, that was very much endorsed by Dr. Dean Ornish. But this is about how what you eat and what you do makes a difference with what supports this whole structure we call our body. Dr. Amy, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Now, I hope you don't mind me calling you Dr. Amy.
That's fine, or just Amy is fine.
Oh, okay, then we'll do that. We'll just go with Amy. Amy, you have quite an interesting background. You're an assistant professor of health and wellness at the University of North Carolina. You also authored a book, Healthy Eating for Life for Children, and you've been in major publications like Time and Newsweek. You've also been on other radio shows and television programs. Now, Michael Castleman assisted you, you were very much involved in working with each other, and on this book, and he's considered one of the nation's top health writers by the Library Journal. And how in the world did the two of you ever get together? Did you bump into each other at a health show or a trade show or something like that?
Well, actually, he was writing a story. He's a journalist, so he was writing a story on bone health in children, and I had an article out in Pediatrics, which is a medical journal for kids, on the relationship between nutrition and bone health. So he interviewed me for that article, and mm-hmm. we hit it off, and a couple years later, or at least a year later, he said, hey, you know what, I think we should write a book together. So that's how it got started.
I was intrigued right off the bat with the fact that you did over 1,200 interactions with people, and you really, you know, no, studies, excuse me. You did over 1,200 studies. That involves people, of course. But you really did do your homework on this. And one of the factors that you brought up in your information was about low acid eating. So this is something, when I started reading it, I'm very much aware, we have many health professionals on the show, and I'm very much aware how nutrition is so important, supplementation is important, especially as you get older. Is there anyone in your life that you have had a personal one-on-one experience with relative to osteoporosis?
Oh, definitely. My grandmother had very severe osteoporosis, and my mother is contending with osteoporosis herself. So it's definitely has hit close to home. And it's kind of amazing to me that actually one woman in six, or about 17% of women in the United States, will fracture a hip in her lifetime. And it's an amazing number of men, too. As you mentioned, that about 6% of men will also suffer a hip fracture. So this is a very real concern that we're contending with. And I think it's, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to be thinking about what can we do in our lifestyles to take better care of our bones.
I'd like to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Are there European studies regarding osteoporosis? Do they have as much of a challenge with it as our older generation is having a challenge with it?
Yes, and it's really interesting to me that it's actually the countries in the world that have the highest calcium intake and also the highest dairy consumption are the countries in the world where hip fracture rates or osteoporosis rates are highest. It's opposite of what you would think. But it's most of Northern Europe also has similar patterns of osteoporosis as we do here in the U.S. So it's countries that are high meat consumers, high dairy consumers that tend to have higher rates of osteoporosis.
Now, is it as frequent among the elderly in Northern Europe as it is here in the United States?
Well, I can't tell you exact numbers, but yes. I mean, typically what I'm talking about when I'm talking about hip fracture rate is hip fracture rate that's associated with older mm-hmm. or the fourth quarter of life, as you might put it.
Sure. The reason I'm asking the question is that it has been my observation that with the older generation, and there are so many people that I've known, their bones are they just seem to be so fragile. And as people are getting older, especially if they've not been active, and Europeans, you typically expect them to be a lot of, you know, really walking. Gee whiz, I think in New York, they said that the average New Yorker, the reason you don't see many fat New Yorkers is because they have to walk everywhere. I mean, they're walking anywhere from 5 to 12 miles a day, just going up and down stairs and all this kind of stuff. And I found that very interesting in a study. But in Europe, I know in Italy and in France and in Germany and Austria and people that I've talked with over there, they say, oh, well, we walk everywhere because things are fairly close together. The osteoporosis is such an interesting development. It's always been with us, I think, on one level or another. But the low acid eating, in your studies, what prompted you? How did this come up? How did you become aware of this, that it was due to that in particular? And what is low acid eating?
Okay, sure. Well, it's sort of this notion that that hip fracture rates are highest in countries where there is high animal food consumption that and high calcium consumption that got me thinking about, I wonder what it is. I wonder what it is about that dietary pattern that is harming bone. And that's sort of how I got started into looking at this research. It turns out that diets that are high in plant foods, especially those fruits and vegetables, are diets that are alkaline-forming. They are ones that are diets that are low acid. And diets that are high in foods from animal sources, especially the meats and cheeses, are diets that are more acid-forming. And in an acid-forming diet, what happens is that as you digest a food that's acid-forming and it goes through the digestive system and it gets absorbed into the bloodstream, it increases the acidity of your blood just a little bit. And what happens when our blood gets a little bit more acid, the body doesn't like that and it wants to fix it right away. And so what it'll do is it looks for something that can help neutralize that acidity. Well, one of the things that can help neutralize that acidity is calcium compounds in bone. So what we do when we have a high acid diet is we go into bone, grab these calcium compounds to neutralize that acidity, and then throw that calcium out in the urine along with the now neutralized acid. So it turns out that diets that are high in animal protein in particular are diets that increase the calcium loss from the body because of this acid-forming nature of that food. You know, that was a lot all at once.
So what it does is the body, in trying to balance things, it will extract the calcium from the bones, which makes the bones vulnerable, and it goes out through the waste system, through the urine.
Exactly.
Now, are there any urine tests that make evaluations? Do they do this in doctor's offices? I've never experienced it where they say, well, let's check your urine to see what your calcium levels are in the urine. Do they test for that?
they can, and you can also, you can even at home check the pH of your urine,
okay.
to see if you're dumping acid into the urine. You can do that at home with little, pH strips. The thing is, it changes a lot from moment to moment throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
It might be, you know, if you just did it every now and again, you might get the wrong answer.
Okay.
And that may be why doctors don't routinely check that, because
mm-hmm.
it depends on what you, what sort of the body's condition is at the moment, what you recently ate, where you are in the digestive process, whether or not you recently exercised, because exercise actually, particularly endurance exercise, will increase lactic acid buildup, which also can do the same thing. So it's interesting. Exercise is absolutely important to bone, but there are some studies that show exercise at very high levels can actually have the opposite effect. So sometimes we see like endurance cyclists, for example, having
mm-hmm.
very difficult time keeping their bone density up or keeping their bone strength up.
Now, this is something that is interesting because a lot of people who are very intense in certain athletic activities, and I think of a woman that I knew of many years ago. I'll call her Jean. And Jean loved running. She
mm-hmm.
was out running, and she just absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it. And, of course, this is good for her, right? Well, she gets to her 50s. One day she's out running and her legs collapse from underneath her.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds that the running, instead of strengthening her bone, has literally caused it to have fractures. And she had to give up running, and it was such a shock to her. She ended up
yeah.
going to a sports doctor. And the sports doctor said, well, you know, it's your age. But it's more than that. It's what we are eating. And there's just so many things, just like what you've described. We're not aware of the fact that when we do things, even as athletes, we do things and the body, you know, you think you can continue to do it. If you don't take care of the body, if you don't put the right kind of nutrition back into the body, something's going to be depleted. And this is such a refinement of knowledge and education. It's really an ongoing process, and everybody's blood type is different and, you know, have all these different components that go in. It's really quite fascinating. Most sports figures, football players, et cetera, end up having particular health problems, don't they, because they have done something to such excess.
Exactly. They push their bodies really, really hard. And I think you're absolutely right. It's the combination of supporting your body, including your bones, with good nutrition, with a healthy dietary pattern, at the same time as giving your bones a stimulus to make new cells, which is exercise. But if you are giving more stimulus to make new cells, then you're providing the nutrients that are needed to regenerate the cells that are broken down or cells that are lost. Then it's a losing battle instead of it being that you're doing what you want to be doing for your bone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because of the research you did, we're getting closer to understanding that individuals need to be analyzed or made aware of their particular components physically, because some people require more of some things than others do, and it's the way our body metabolizes what we take in. But again, the low acid foods, the alkaline foods you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
are especially, that patterning of eating is especially strong in Asian parts of the world. And I think even in the African part of the world, other than the Maasai that I think drink the blood from their cattle, there's really not a whole bunch of dairy that's encouraged. It really isn't there.
Yes, I think that that's true. And we see that places in the world where, like, for example, a lot of places in Asia, like you suggested, where the diet is built around whole plant foods, they tend to have a much more alkaline-forming diet or a low-acid diet and tend to have less problems with bones as they age. It's interesting. The osteoporosis rates are like 50 to 70% lower in Japan and China than they are in the U.S. and Norway, for example.
Now, one of the things I want to do is share with my audience some of the statistics that you have. Currently, 10 million Americans over the age of 50 have osteoporosis. 8 million women, 2 million men. Another 34 million have osteopenia, bone mineral density considered below normal, but it's not low enough to be diagnosed as osteoporosis. 1.5 million Americans, primarily women, suffer major fractures. It causes, osteoporosis causes 300,000 hip fractures, 700,000 vertebral fractures, 250,000 wrist fractures, and 300,000. I mean, these are numbers. These are huge numbers.
Yeah.
And they're going to be growing. Now, your research shows, obviously, it's not just a woman's disease. And that when men have this kind of a problem, a major fracture, in fact, the death rate is much higher for the men. That surprised me. I had heard it just the other way. But you said, no, it's primarily the men are more likely to die after a hip fracture than women. Why?
Wow, that's a really good question. It very well may have to do with support. It's one of the things that happens is once you fracture a hip is oftentimes you will lose your mobility, you'll lose your independence, and that is a really hard blow for most people who have been independent for their whole lives. So it really, how well people manage after they've had a hip fracture has a lot to do with the support that they receive and the transition that they make from being a mobile person to a person who can't get around in the way that they used to be able to.
You have a statement in your book, milk, dairy foods, and calcium supplements by themselves or in any combination do not prevent fractures. Now, most of the stuff you see on television, it's been promoted, my goodness, I don't know for how many years, drink your milk, you've got vitamin D in your milk, milk is very important for you, it's going to give you calcium. And I know there's been a lot of research relative to the high amounts of calcium. This goes back, to the early 1900s, I think, where calcium is implants, and that if someone did have a fracture, the more vegetables, or let's say vegetable juice, if you were able to juice your vegetables and drink that, your carrots, your parsley, and this type of thing, that your bone healing process is sped up at a phenomenal rate. Is that wrong?
No, that's correct, and it's for two reasons. It's not just because those foods also contain calcium, but because they help you keep the calcium that's in your bone there. And there's a third reason that the plant foods, particularly those fruits and vegetables, tend to have a lot of the other nutrients that are necessary to support bones. One of the things that I think that a real disservice that the nutrition community, of which I am part, has done over the last, 100 years, but in my life over the last 30 years, we've, I think, really overemphasized the importance of a single nutrient, calcium for bone. And when you look at the studies, when you look at all of the studies that have been done, looking at the relationship between calcium and bone health, the evidence just isn't very good that pushing calcium intakes higher and higher and higher does anything to benefit bone. What matters much, much more is an overall dietary pattern that supports keeping calcium in bone, that provides adequate calcium, but not these 2,000, 2,500, ridiculously high intakes of calcium, provides the calcium that we need, but at much smaller levels. Provides a acid-base balance or an alkaline diet so that we keep that calcium that's in our bodies in bones, and then provides these other nutrients that we need to support not only bone mineral density, which is what we are typically measuring, but also to support the structure that those minerals are in. Bone is like a spongy, kind of firm, spongy structure that calcium and other minerals get packed into. And we forget, I think, a lot of times about how do we take care of that spongy, the spongy structure. And calcium doesn't help that spongy structure at all. It's vitamin C, it's vitamin K, it's vitamin D, it's movement, all kinds of other things that help maintain that sort of flexible, strong structure that the bone mineral density is actually in, or the bone minerals are actually housed in.
Now, you brought up something that I find a fascinating topic, and that's vitamin D. And
yes.
I think, you know, for years, anybody that had any education in school, vitamin D always, especially in northern environments where you don't get a lot of sun, was mandatory through cod liver oil. Well, that's about as exciting, you know, as taking rotten carrion. I mean, it's terrible stuff.
Yeah.
However, now they've got it flavored or whatever you can do, and you can take capsules. This is something that was grossly ignored for a great deal of time, and I find it fascinating how we go full circle. All of a sudden, it's like what was common sense knowledge that definitely was there that helped millions of children, you know, to have healthy bones, not healthy rickets, in this country especially and in other parts of the world. We ignore it, and then all of a sudden it's like a big, great, woohoo, we've discovered vitamin D. Well, it didn't go anywhere. It's been here. Tell us about the vitamin D interaction with the bones and also the vitamin D3. Give us an insight on that, because they always seem to have to track on something new and saying, ta-da, we've got this new vitamin D number three here. Check it out. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, I think the most important thing is that your vitamin D status, which can be measured, and this is when you were saying it's important to know, you know, all sorts of different things about your individual self. Well, this is a really important thing to know. It's important to know your vitamin D status. Do you have adequate levels of vitamin D in your body? Because vitamin D is not only helps you get the calcium from your food or increases the absorption of calcium into the body, it helps move calcium from the blood into bone. So it's critically important for good bone health over the course of your life. Does it matter what form it comes in? The literature is actually all over the place on this. Your best bet is to let your body make your own vitamin D. At least that's my that's sort of my bottom line on it. If you can get outside and walk, get outside and garden, do something outdoors for 15 minutes to 30 minutes a day on most days, with at least your hands and face uncovered or about that much skin uncovered, you'll probably be able to keep up your vitamin D. I mean, although you're in the Northwest.
I'm in the state of Washington, which right now we have the glorious gray sunshine, which
So there are some places where the sunshine factor, you know, might not work. And certainly, some areas of the world where, you know, it's dark for 20 hours of the day in the winter months, those kinds of things, then supplemental sources or, food sources like the one you were talking about are good choices. But, and supplements will work. And the most recent research I saw on the D2 versus D3, both are fine. Just use them at the recommended amounts. I don't think we need to be splitting hairs about our supplemental sources, if that
I just wondered if there was any difference, because if straight cod liver oil is going to do it for you. By the way, that's a good thing to use with kids if they get out of line. Well, maybe that's what I was going to say. Castor oil used to be the popular one for that.
Yes.
Get stuck in a corner, you get a tablespoon of castor oil. That's just terrible. Cod liver oil is just about as exciting. Now, daily walking. This is something that is so good. One of my favorite authors, Napoleon Hill, he used to ruminate and go walking. He would do 10 miles a day. Well, you'd have to have a lot of time to do that. But daily walking is absolutely invigorating. And I know a Japanese lady, my husband said, no, she's not Japanese. She's Korean. And this woman, I think, eliminated like 30 some odd pounds, but she walks, leisurely walks. I mean, really, it's leisurely compared to my pace. She leisurely walks 5 miles a day. And she just walks all over the place, but she trimmed down. She said she'd been given a verdict. She had osteoporosis. She had heart problems. She had blood pressure problems. In other words, she was falling apart. Yes. And the doctor said, well, this is what's going to happen. And she said, oh, no, it's not. She made up her mind. She was going to shift things. And it took her about 2 years. And she said, I totally changed my way of eating. She's big into the vegetables. Of course, her Asian background is very complimentary to that. But mm-hmm. she said, I have some meat and I have, you know, I have my protein, but I have small portions. But she said it really was the walking. She got out there and she was moving.
Yep.
And she is religious about this.
Mm-hmm.
Rain, sleet, hail, snow, doesn't make any difference. We get it all here in the Pacific Northwest. And she's out there just ambling along. Now, in a way, it'd be hard to gauge her age. I'm guessing that she's in her 70s. But she said, I chose not to be disabled.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do. We have to take that positioning. Now, the acid alkaline balance, this is very, very important. Talk about why the bone strength begins in the bloodstream.
Well, bone strength begins in the bloodstream because of this acid-alkaline relationship. And when our blood is more acidic, we pull calcium or calcium compounds out of bone to neutralize that acidity, which decreases bone strength. So if we can provide enough alkalinity in our bloodstream through our diet, through eating, you know, through having a nice big salad at lunchtime, through having some fruit with your breakfast cereal or your breakfast, through having a serving or two of vegetables at dinner time, having a fruit snack in the day, so 6 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, fruits or vegetables a day, not 6 to 9 of each, although mm-hmm. that wouldn't do you any harm, then you can help keep calcium in bone where it belongs. You add on top of that what you were just talking about, the movement factor. Almost all of the studies done on exercise and fracture risk show a positive benefit. Most show a 50% reduction in fracture risk between the most and least active participants.
Mm-hmm.
And the consensus of the research shows that you only need between 30 and 60 minutes of daily walking to take good care of your bones over your lifetime. And I think what you were talking about with the woman you were talking about, it's like making that commitment to use your body on a regular basis, use it in a way, in a healthful way on a regular basis is all you need to do to avoid a lot of the deterioration that we associate with aging.
Now, that I think is so important because in our world today, my goodness, women, it's going to be easy for us probably to live to be well over 100 years of age. And the image of being a decrepit human being, like it's mm-hmm. so often been portrayed as someone in their 90s of not having any functional capability, you're basically just this limp body, this is changing. This is changing because of our technology, our research, our understanding. Understanding about how we treat our body when we're younger is going to have a great deal of an effect on us when we're older. But when we're older, because of digestive enzymes decreasing in the system, we need to be aware. We have to be attentive to what we eat and how we take care of ourselves. Have they ever done an evaluation relative to blood types and calcium absorption relative, you know, to proteins and other things? Has there ever been a study like that?
On blood type, I don't know of one. We didn't come across one in our research. We do know that that if you push your protein intake too high, but the you know, folks who are recommending changing your diet based on your blood type are not suggesting that anybody overeat protein. It's just what the source of that protein is to be, you know, within healthy amounts. And the problem is, and the reason we have such trouble with our bones here, is that we not only eat so much of our protein from animal sources, but we're over-consuming protein. We're eating 1.5, 2 times as much as we need. And that pushes our body into that acid realm that's so deleterious to bone.
Well, your book is absolutely very interesting. And for those
Thank
of you,
you.
Listening, She's not saying you have to go out and become a cow, chew your cud all day long, and have nothing but grass. That's not what she's talking about. She's wanting to educate you into an understanding about how a dietary program format makes a difference, and your body will tell you what works. But ladies and guys, you don't have to have bone problems. You need to understand, though, you take care of yourself. So Building Bone Vitality is the title of this book. Dr. Amy Jo Lanau has been my guest. And Amy, your building site for Building Bone Vitality is www.buildingbonevitality, the title of your book, .com. So this is something I think you've done a wonderful job with research here. And if you have questions, you've got all kinds of resources in the back to go through. So it's a good book to have in your library, and hey, if you know of a loved one that's been going through this, pick it up. You might be able to help somebody, especially if it runs in the family. Drugs don't cure osteoporosis, folks. Understanding how the body works can help you prevent it and do something to maintain wellness in yourself, and that's what this is all about. Dr. Amy, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure having you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and when we come back, I got some goodies to share with you, so don't go anywhere. We won't be very long. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to chat with me today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here's the toll-free worldwide number to call in to. It is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I'll need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you just sit back, relax, and I'll tell you what I perceive. And, of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. And then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that might be on your mind. Now, this coming Saturday from 4 until 6, I will be the guest of Bill on Achieve Radio. His program is called Super Psychics, and I think this is my 4th or 5th time being on his show, and I just feel very honored to be asked to be a guest for the full 2 hours. Bill's show is heard all over the country, and you can go to AchieveRadio.com, and you'll be able to hear me live. Tell your friends, because it is going to be a different time slot there, so I invite you to come in. We'll be taking calls during the 2 hours. Those of you that may have had a paranormal experience, would you like to share it with other people? I'd love to have you send me your story. I'm compiling a book. I'm giving myself a year to do it in. And so by spring of next year, I want to have 100 stories plus to share. And I am getting some awesome, awesome stories. This is going to be going into a book because I feel the more we can share what we've experienced and how we can use it as a tool to help ourselves better, it is. Maybe you've had a special experience with animals. Maybe you've had dream experiences, or there has been something with an out-of-body or a near-death experience. I'd love to hear from you. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And be sure to put in the subject line Donna's book, story for Donna's book, something that will let me know that you are sending me a story. Why I want you to do this, I literally have, at any given time, 100 to 200 emails waiting for me daily, and it just is sometimes a bear going through everything. So it's good when you put that in the subject line. Very important, because I'm not always able to read every single piece of email that comes into me. So do that for yourself. I would love to have your story. So again, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Also, if you'd like to send it to me via snail mail, send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that's P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497, because I really think your story could make a difference in somebody else's life. I'll be putting some of my stories in, too. Okay, telephone number to call in to 888-815-9756, and have that pad of paper and pen handy. I have got a recipe, a Black Forest trifle. Oh, goody, goody. Well, you have to have goodies every once in a while. My goodness, life would be so dull and uninteresting if we didn't bring some sweetness into our life periodically. So I've got something like that, and I will be sharing that with you. I do want to let you know that we are going to have a great lineup of guests this week. Notes 101 tomorrow. Now, what is this all about? That isn't telling you much. Well, Kent Anderson is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about mortgages and financing. Kent has been involved in helping people deal with investments in real estate. And so we're going to be discussing a course that he offers to help educate people so that they can know how to deal with their own real estate and gather financing for that. So if you're a person that's going through some troubled times and you're wondering what you can do about certain things, hey, this is an opportunity. Real estate still has value. Remember, lots of times when things are down, that is when opportunity will knock for you in maybe a way you don't expect. Then on Wednesday, we've got two wonderful guests. We're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp, who is one of my favorite people, and her exercise program I am just totally supportive of. I talk about it wherever I go because it has made such a difference with me, and I have met and interviewed people that it has made a difference for as well. So we're going to be talking about our contest winner, and we've just got so many things to share with you, so I hope you'll tune in. And then that same day, we're going to be talking to Jeannie Kolsch. She used to do caricatures for the stars. In fact, she's still doing them. What an awesome lady she is. More fun. We're going to be talking Hollywood. So it's going to be a pretty dynamic hour. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about True Stories, Overcomers, Inc. Whenever we feel like we just don't have much to be grateful for, we need to hear somebody else's story. People that have overcome maybe a lot more than we could ever fathom that we could overcome. Well, Lynn Clapel has gathered some people's testimonials, stories that I think will touch your heart and your mind. Then Alphatudes, the alphabet of gratitude, Michelle Waldner is going to be my guest on Friday. It'll be a great way to close out the week. We have wonderful guests here, and it's important to encourage you to tell your friends about the show, and I'll tell you why. It's a good idea for all of the murky muck that we get on a daily basis. We get it thrown down our mental gullets with such energy of what I call negative programming that it's important to know that there's a lot of good people in this world that are out there doing good things. You're one of them. Just know that there's a lot more. And you need to know you're not alone. This is very important. A lot of people are walking roads of experience, and when they tell their stories to you, it makes you realize that there is such a thing, not only of hope, but opportunity, and you will just be in good company when you listen in to the Donna Sebo Show. Okay, let me share with you this fabulous recipe. I mean, I'm a chocolate person. I like chocolate. I especially like dark, dark, dark chocolate. I really, really do. Well, this is a Black Forest trifle. And I think it's fun sometimes to have desserts that are not common in people's experience. And I also think that when you make a good dessert, you need to be sure you use good quality ingredients. Don't use cheap, waxy chocolate stuff. Don't use any of that. You want to use real, good, high-quality chocolate and good butter and all of these things because it has flavor, and a little bit can go a long, long way. And, boy, with a good cup of coffee or a cup of tea, you got it made. It's absolutely wonderful. Even a good wine goes very good with these desserts. Whatever is your pleasure. Okay, here are the ingredients. Got that pad of paper and pen handy. You're going to need 6 thin slices of chocolate butter cream roll. 6 thin slices of chocolate butter cream roll. You're going to need 2 14-ounce cans of black cherries, 2 14-ounce cans of black cherries, 2 tablespoons of Kirsch, and 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of superfine sugar. That's 2 tablespoons of Kirsch, 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of superfine sugar. You need 1 3/4 cups of milk, 1 3/4 cups of milk, 3 egg yolks. Now, remember, they have to be at room temperature, too. 1 egg, 1 whole egg, 2 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate, 2 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate. Again, don't go cheap on this. Use the best you can afford. 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream. And this will be lightly whipped, 1 1/4 cups of heavy cream, lightly whipped. And then you're going to want to have some dark chocolate and also some maraschino cherries if you want to add something extra with this. Okay, here we go. This is what you're going to do. You're going to place the slices of a chocolate roll in the bottom of a glass serving bowl. Now, if you can't find a chocolate butter cream roll. Now, this, if you've got a German bakery, they probably will have this, or a European bakery, they probably will have something like this. But check around, and if you don't have that, then try to find a chocolate cake that is going to be very, very rich. And if you have your own home recipe, you can use that if you want. Then you want to drain your black cherries, and you want to reserve the juice, and you want to take out of the juice that you save 6 tablespoons of that juice. And then you want to arrange the cherries on the top of the layer of cake. And then you want to sprinkle with the 6 tablespoons of cherry juice and your liqueur, your cherry kirsch. You want to put that on the cake and over the cherries. Then in a bowl, you want to mix the cornstarch and super fine sugar. And you want to stir in enough of the milk to this mix to a smooth paste. And then you gently beat in your egg yolks. And after you beat in the egg yolks, you then beat in your whole egg. Now, the milk that is left over, you heat the remaining milk in a small saucepan until it's almost boiling, but you don't want it to boil, until it's almost there. And then, ever so slowly, you pour that very warm milk into your egg mixture. Now you just want to add a little bit of a time because you don't want the egg to curdle and cook so that then it becomes clumpy. You don't want that. You want it so that it's just coming in little by little, and you'll beat it well after each time you add the mixture until it's combined and just smooth as silk. Then what you do, you want to place that bowl that you put the mixture in. You want to put it over a pan of hot water and cook it over low heat. You want to stir it constantly until it becomes a thickened custard. Then you add your chocolate, and you stir until everything is deliciously mixed, and you pour that yummy chocolate custard over the cherries, and you let it cool. Now, when it's cold, you spread your whipped cream over the custard, and, of course, you just make that nice and pretty with the back of a spoon. And, of course, you're going to chill it before you decorate it. So you don't want to put, if you're going to put maraschino cherries on it and shaved chocolate, then you want to wait until just before serving time. It's because you don't want any moisture going into that whipped cream. If you're wanting to fix something a day ahead, your custard and your cake, you could cover that mixture with a, you know, plastic wrap, put that in the refrigerator, and then when you're ready to serve, if you wanted to make it a day ahead or the night before, then you would put your whipped cream on, and then you would put on your, you know, your shaved chocolate and your spoons. Now, if you want, you can just use a potato peeler with a chocolate bar. If you have that, that makes wonderful curls. You can just do all kinds of things with chocolate. It's just marvelous. And maybe you even just want to sort of drizzle it over the whipped cream, warm it up in the microwave, and then just hold your spoon up because it hardens very quickly. And just sort of drizzle and make a pattern. Whatever you want to do, use your imagination. But this is actually quite a luscious, rich dessert that I think you'll enjoy. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. We'll come back in just a minute. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I love a quote by Dr. Mitchell Davis. He said, "There's no such thing as a bad day, only bad moments in a good day." And I think that that's true. There's no such thing as a bad day, only bad moments in a good day. Good thought to carry around with you today. The mind, well, it is absolutely infinite in its capabilities and the possibilities of how it can demonstrate an awareness of information. And I came across this story called Operation Crossword that I thought I would share with you. It was fascinating to me. And it took place during the Second World War. In fact, it was on May 3rd, 1944, the British counter-espionage service. MI5, heard about the program they've got on? Well, MI5 was around for a long time before the TV program came around. Well, in 44, they sprang into action. There were code words for key World War II military operations that were known only to the Allied intelligence chiefs. However, every day, their code words were appearing in a crossword puzzle. How'd that happen? Now, the success of the D-Day landings, the beginning of Operation Overlord, which would end World War II, were really in danger of being found out. The code names for the targeted beaches were Utah and Omaha. The artificial landing harbors were known as Mulberry. Neptune was the code name for the naval operation. Now, while the military was getting this invasion ready to go, they were making their strategic plans, only code names were used. On May 3rd, a member of the Secret Service who regularly did the London Daily Telegraph crossword puzzle saw the code names appearing as solutions to clues. Well, for those of you that have done crossword puzzles, you probably wouldn't think that was unusual. But it was all the time. These code words were coming up in these crossword puzzles all the time. He told his superiors, and of course they were in just absolutely, unbelievably furious about the whole thing. And at the same time, they were very discouraged. I mean, who was it that was doing all of this stuff? Well, they really got busy. They had to go to the newspaper offices and find out who this evildoer was that was putting out all this code information. They actually thought they were going to find some kind of a Nazi spy. It was a mastermind for maybe a ring of espionage agents that were sending hidden messages to Berlin. But what they ended up with was really outside of their paradigms of expectation. They ended up with Leonard Daw from Leatherhead, Surrey, England. Now, Mr. Daw was a senior crossword compiler for the Daily Telegraph. He was a retired school teacher. His hobby had been for years creating crossword puzzles, and the newspaper hired him because he did such a wonderful job. Well, they pick him up, they interrogate him, and it went on and it went on and it went on. And they demanded to know, how had he chosen these five words? Now remember, they were Utah, Omaha, Mulberry, Neptune, and one other one. Why he had chosen these words for his solutions. Now here's this retired school teacher going through all of this nonsense, and he looks at them, just can't believe what he's going through. He's not broken any laws. And his response was a question. Why not? Was there any law against choosing whatever words he liked? And he could give them no logical reason that those specific words had come to his mind at the time of doing the puzzle. And in the end, they finally realized this man was not a traitor. The crossword code words had been a coincidence. Don't you just love it? There are so many stories in life where you will have people, different parts of the world, and they come up with the same concept, the same idea, they spend the same amount of time almost working on their ideas, and then all of a sudden, one chooses to go to a patent office, and another one's going to the patent office on the same day, but one gets there 15 minutes before the other one. And they register that patent. Who's really the true inventor? All involved. Because the laws of mind say, if it's out there, it's out there. And that's how sweet it is. It's what you tap in on and what you're able to work with. The law of mind does not know any limitations. It's only people that do. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're talking real estate. Hope you can join me. Tell your friends. We'll be here same time, same place, right here. on bbsradio.com. This is Donna. Talk with it in. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.